This is MSO News Sports. I'm John Squires, and this afternoon we have the pleasure to get a former Marblehead High School player and starter at UMass, Derek Dumais. Derek, thanks for being with us, man.
I appreciate it, John. Thanks for having me today.
Well, I appreciate the time, Derek. I just want to sit back a little bit here, Derek, and just talk a little bit about the transition you've had going from Marblehead High School Northeastern Conference football to a major college football at UMass. What have you seen so far?
I mean, I've seen a lot of competition. You know, the transition between high school football and college football. I mean, especially in Massachusetts Division III, you know, it's unparalleled. You know, I kind of was at a disadvantage coming in. I didn't really see a lot of, you know, great size and great, I guess, athleticism playing in, you know, the Northeast Conference. But, you know, it's all about adapting to it, you know. Seeing it over the years, I've been able to adapt to it. And, like, people that are coming out of Texas and playing in more competitive leagues, you know, they see more of the competition, which it brings out the best in players.
You know, there's Texas, there's California, there's Pennsylvania, as you said, some of the best high school players in the country. And being from, like you said, a Division III school, Marblehead, it must have been quite a jump, correct?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, it was a jump.
Now, your size and height right now, what are you playing at, Derek?
Right now I'm about 6'5", around 325. I think they got me listed at 330. Yeah, in high school I was, 6'5", like 345. I actually weighed a lot more and was a lot less out of shape in high school than I am now.
I remember when you played high school, you played both ways, mostly offensively, but you played defense too because of your size. And I remember your dad saying that when they told you and they gave you the full scholarship, being a full scholarship Division I player, they wanted you to slim down a little bit because they expected you to be a little bit quicker, which obviously you've probably done over the year.
Yeah. You know, they wanted me to slim down a little bit, mostly just for the athleticism, you know. I've always had, relatively pretty good feet and pretty good movement and flexibility for my size. And, it was all about kind of trimming up, getting more muscle on there, getting a little bit more athleticism. You know, we have a great coach, our strength and conditioning staff. Coach Joe Conley is actually a Massachusetts native. He's a great guy. You know, he knows what he's doing. He was at South Carolina for years before this, and we had the pleasure of getting him, I think, 2 years ago, right after my freshman season. You know, he's done a great job with me and, you know, the entire team, changing our bodies and getting us physically ready for these games.
Now, I remember your freshman year. You were kind of in the mix, right, in your freshman year, and then you had a problem with you. I think you hurt yourself. There was an injury, and then they decided they weren't sure whether they're going to redshirt you or not, but then they did redshirt you, your redshirt freshman. What's been the biggest change you see from your freshman to your redshirt freshman to your redshirt sophomore now? You're a starter now, which is a big difference than being a backup or waiting for your playing time.
Freshman year, like I said, I was kind of getting my feet wet. I didn't really know what to expect, and it did take a while to adjust. And that redshirt year, it was kind of just more like sitting back and watching the guys in front of you and learning from them. I learned a lot from the seniors when I was a freshman, and learned from their mistakes. Saw what they did, how they prepared themselves, and now, I got to go on a couple of trips. I got to go to Notre Dame, which was a great experience to see, like, a big big game atmosphere. And, it was a little relaxing because, I pretty much knew I wasn't going to play. So it was easy just to sit back and kind of take it all in. And then my redshirt freshman year, I was kind of fighting for the spot and I didn't get it. And then I was always the backup, and then we had a couple injuries, and we play a lot of six offensive linemen, so 3rd-and-1, 2nd-and-1, something like that. I would come in the game and be the extra lineman that would come in. I got anywhere between like 3-5 snaps, 10 snaps a game towards the end of the season. It would be up there a lot. we started running a lot of the extra tackle formations and stuff. But, you know, that was a good experience to get the speed of the game down. And because, you know, practice is one thing. Everyone's going, everyone's trying their best out there in practice. But in game, it's another thing. It's you're giving up all you got. And so that speed between the practice and the game, it's a lot different. So it was really nice for that transition redshirt, my redshirt freshman year, to get accustomed to that. And then, you know, the biggest thing with this year is being the starter. You know, it's a responsibility thing. You know, you're one of the 22 guys that are starting on the team, and the other 80 guys kind of look to you as like one of the leaders. You know, I'm not a team captain or anything, but I look at myself as, you know, a vocal leader on the team, and you know, I try to do my part, and that's basically it. It's the responsibility. I mean, especially being the center, I have even more responsibility on top.
Now, conditioning-wise, it must be a big difference going from 3 to 5 to even 15 snaps a game to playing an entire game, because you're not exactly playing against the Lynn Englishes, Swampscotts, and so forth. You're going against some big, tough interior linemen, so it must be a big difference playing an entire game, too.
Yeah, you know, like I said, like, well, the season's going to end, and you know, we'll get a couple weeks off, and then the semester ends, and then we kind of come home for a bit. And then we come back and we're right back at it doing our winter conditioning and all that, which is mostly strength, you know, mostly strength and building muscle. And but there is a sense of the conditioning. But, you know, in the summer, I mean, everyone's home from school in the summer. I'm out in Amherst, you know, it was late May, actually, this year. It's usually beginning of June. And we're running all summer long. And that's what training camp's for, too. You know, the summer conditioning is to get you ready for training camp. And the training camp, which is always a huge part of anyone's season, you know, that's to get you ready for these games. And, you know, like I said, like the first game against like Hawaii and Coastal, playing long drives was very, very tiring. And, you know, your body kind of gets accustomed to it over the season. You just start getting in better shape and more muscle memory and everything, and able to recover from it.
Now, the team's had kind of an interesting year. You started very slow. You were very close for the last 2 years, winning some games, coming very close to winning games, but you couldn't seem to turn the corner. You had that break with the bad weather. You got a cancellation, and it's almost like you started a second season again. And since the second season, you've really turned it around. How's the team been? How's the team doing, really, Derek?
Well, yeah, so it was funny. I mean, I thought we had a great training camp, and you know, we came in, we had a heartbreaker against Hawaii, didn't play too great as a team against Coastal Carolina, and then I mean, it was just another tough game after another. And I mean, you know, the team never gave up. I mean, every week we were close. We, you know, we really just needed that extra push. And you know, we started 0-6. And then we had those 2 weeks off. Like I said, I mean, a lot of the team, we took that first week, no football, nothing. We were normal students for a week. We recovered. We got our minds away from it. And honestly, I think the guys were all itching to get back in there. And we came back and had some of the best couple of weeks of practices that we've had. You know, coaches were always positive with us, always. They've been working harder than almost anybody. I mean, they didn't take a second off. I mean, they were studying for the 3 weeks down the road. I mean, they were getting us ready. So, I mean, those 2 weeks, you know, we kind of just got our minds right. And like I said, we've been having a great attitude in practice, and we've just strung together four out of five wins in the second half of the season. So it's been a great stretch towards the end.
It certainly has. Now, let's switch gears for a second, talk a little bit about the academics. You were a pretty good student at UMass, and you're one of the better students on Coach Whipple's team out there as an underclassman. Tell me a little bit about the academics, what you major, what you plan to major in, and what, do you have any future plans down the road a little bit academically, or what you'd like to do?
Yeah, so academics are also, you know, a major part of the experience. You know, it's difficult balancing the classwork with the football, but you know, it's great preparation for life after football, for balancing, you know, the play and the work, and time management skills are very, very key to a successful line of work. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm a communications major in school. And I enjoy it a lot. And I think that I want to pursue kind of a career in sports media, sports broadcasting, you know, something that I can talk to people and be around people. And also my love of sports and experience in sports would, you know, I think it would go hand in hand.
Right. You seem very comfortable around the microphone. Let's talk about Coach Whipple a little bit. Highly recruited. He's got a great resume. I know for a fact he was very, very keen on getting you to sign, and you did. Tell me a little bit about Coach Whipple and how your experience with him out at UMass has been.
I mean, Coach Whip, you know, he's like kind of a father to all of us. I mean, he'll go to war for you. He'll put his word in. He won't take his word back. He's really a great guy, and I really look up to him and admire him a lot. Yeah, he's had a great career, and you know, I think the guys really, really are playing hard to for Coach Whip. You know, how hard he works and how bad he cares for all of us in the game, and it's very motivating to play for him.
I'm very friendly with Mr. Bamford, your athletic director, and I know for a fact he is a big supporter of Coach Whipple, and when the things were going kind of tough, he still was a big backer of him. So what's the future look for UMass football? How do you see the future? You still have another 2 years of playing time, and you'll probably go get your master's there too, probably. So what does the future for UMass football look like?
In the future for UMass football is huge. I mean, we started something the past couple of years. I mean, it might not have looked like much from the outside, but you know, it was a foundation. And this year was the start. You're starting to see the tipping point, and you know, a couple plays here and there, and we're going to a bowl game this year. So, I mean, obviously the goal is for the bowl game. That's the goal for next year and moving forward. You know, we're a very young team. We didn't have a lot of experience. No, didn't have a lot of guys coming back this season. So we're turning a bunch of guys on offense for next year. I know personally that the whole offensive line is back next year, which was maybe one of our least experienced position groups on the team, which is very helpful because, you know, we kind of had a more rough start to the season than we would like. I mean, we let up a lot of sacks that were unwanted. That was the first couple games. And then the more experience that we got playing together, we've really done a great job, you know, protecting these guys and giving them the opportunity.
Now, your schedule's been very interesting. You've played Florida down there. You've played Tennessee down there. Next year, if I'm not mistaken, you're going down to the Georgia Dome to play Georgia. You don't shy away from everybody as this transition from Division 1A to 1-1 football. And I know Coach Bamford, Mr. Bamford's very much in favor of that, as well as the coaching staff. I'm sure he shares that with Coach Whipple. Who's the toughest opponent the toughest person that you've played since you've been there at UMass, toughest person or team that you played?
Yeah, so yeah, Florida was really good, but I wasn't starting. I only played, I think, like three plays at the very end of the game. And they had some great athletes. They had, what's his name? I can't think of it right now, but he was a great athlete. But, you know, this year, the best front that we've played was Mississippi State down in Starksville. Number 94, Jeffrey Simmons in the interior. He's probably the best guy I've gone against this year. He's a pretty good player. He's getting a lot of attention this year. He's doing a great job for them. And yeah, that was that whole interior seven, the linebackers and the four big guys in the front. That was a huge test for us. And
I forgot you went down there. I forgot you played down there, and you almost beat them. You played great. You really surprised them, and you've been playing great. What was it like going back to Thanksgiving Day? Did you go to the game the other day? And you did. And what was that like seeing some of your friends and coming back to where you played your high school career?
I mean, it was great. I mean, I actually caught a game earlier in the season on one of those bye weeks that we had. My grandfather, who does the chains at the for the Marblehead High School, he was getting an award for 50 years of service. So I took some time away on that bye week and came back here to caught the Gloucester game, and was able to be there for my grandfather when he got that award, and it was a very special moment. But you know, I haven't been home for Thanksgiving since I graduated high school. My freshman year, we played Buffalo in Buffalo, and then last year we played Hawaii in Hawaii. So this is the first time I've been home, and you know, it's been great. All my buddies are back as well. I mean, like, for example, Brooks Terrell, he's been doing lacrosse at Notre Dame, and my other buddy, Will Millett, has been doing football at Trinity. So I really haven't seen all the guys together in a while, and yeah, it was really great, you know, going to the game, seeing some of the younger kids, the older kids, the parents. I mean, it was great. And, you know, watching my brother play, he was playing the game too. I didn't get to see too many of his games, so it was great to watch him play and get a big win on Thanksgiving, because it's really special.
Yeah, being from Swampscott, I wasn't too happy about that. But I was on the sidelines with the granddad. I was doing sideline reporting for the game, and I talked to him, and he's so proud of you. He talked about that night, how you came back, and he thought you were just coming back to get a haircut or coming back for some reason, he told me. And then when he got presented that award, your whole family was here, your dad and mom and sisters and brother, and your brothers Ryan's had a great year this year. They had a great year, 10-1, 11-1, I think they ended up, which is great. So, and talking about influential people, who have been influential people to you, and maybe the most influential person in your life throughout your football career, would you say?
Yeah, definitely the most influential person in my life is definitely my father. And, you know, close second is definitely my grandfather. You know, they've always been there for me through athletics, you know, everything, education, socially, anything. And, you know, like, growing up, my dad was always one of the coaches on every team I played. It was basketball, baseball, football. He always, you know, he was working full time. He always, after work, made it to the practice, was the head coach or assistant coach or something. So he was always there to be that role model and to look up to. And, you know, that was great. And then, you know, my grandfather, he's just a legend around here. I mean, he's just if there's a life that, like, I want to, like, he can just say he just lived a life, and he'll tell you that he's done nothing with his life, and or something. And he's this very, very humble man, and you know, I just love being around him and hearing his stories and what he's been through, and you know, he's always there.
Well, both your granddad and your dad speak volumes about you, which is a real, you come from a great family, which is great. Your mom was a great athlete in high school. Your sister just made the All-Stars for the third year in volleyball. Your brother's probably going to make an All-Star team. He's had a great year. I know he's very good in track. He's looking at my old alma mater, UMaine, up in Orono, and I hope he decides on there. But, you know, you're off. I have one final question for you. You know, you're finishing, you're going back. If I was going to say one thing, what does the future hold for Derek Dumais? What would you like to answer that? How does what would you like to think that the future holds for Derek Dumais?
The future for Derek Dumais is winning. Derek is going to be winning. Just like we were in Marblehead, Derek's going to be winning at UMass. That's what's going to happen.
That's great, Derek. I just want to thank you for the time you took. I'm glad you had a nice vacation, and best of luck, and we'll be following you from the North Shore. That's Derek Dumais from UMass Amherst via Marblehead, and well, that's about all for now, and hopefully we wish nothing but the best for Derek Dumais. Derek, thanks an awful lot.
Yeah, I appreciate the time, John.